What's the story, guys? Back again. This is the Breaking Grips podcast, episode 23, I think. Today's episode is with Roger Dardis and Paul Fox, two Marcelo Garcia black belts, the only two Marcelo Garcia black belts in Ireland. Sat down with them on a fucking freezing cold bank holiday Monday for a chat, straight after training, on location at their gym, Royal Grappling Academy. It's an awesome facility based in Castleknock in Dublin. If you haven't been over there, I would suggest getting over there and check it out. The guys are always very welcoming. They've got a great school of students. Really cool, friendly guys and girls. Great place to train. So today's podcast, we kept it kind of, I think it was 40 odd minutes. We kept it kind of short and sweet because we were literally sitting there freezing our asses off. We'd all just trained, so we were all feeling a little tired and hungry. So, really good chat nonetheless. Hope you guys enjoy. So, camera's rolling. Deadly. Here for the chats today with the Bert and Ernie of Irish Jiu Jitsu. Roger and Foxy, what's the story, boys?
How's things?
Yeah, we're sitting here feeling the winter. The first weekend of winter 2018-19 has landed on us. The mats aren't, they're not too bad now, but there'll be worse nights ahead.
Yeah.
Worse mornings ahead. You just finished what, Bank Holiday Monday Open, Matt?
We did.
Many on the mats today?
Wasn't bad.
It was quiet enough, but 20.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Not too bad. Some places are crying out for 20 guys to roll with.
20 lads killing us.
Yeah. the team is growing.
Yeah, we've got everything is expanded since we moved into this lovely place in Junction 6. So we've got more kids classes and some younger, fresher faces on the mats coming into Mordras.
The next men. Generation, the next wave are all starting through.
Yeah, I think the learning curve is definitely condensed from when we were starting out, where you had one or two blue belts on the mats.
There's less fumbling around in the dark, like.
Yeah. Whereas now they're coming through and you've got higher rank guys to look up to and people with different games to help guide them along.
Yeah, so kind of seeing that all over the country now. Yeah, people are just getting so good so fast. Like, was it 10 years ago or 7 years ago or when I started, it was like everyone was just kind of trying to figure it out still. Like,
and yeah,
you know the story, like it's there's just so many people around now, and you have great structure and stuff, obviously, which are, you know, with your kids classes and your fundamentals courses and things like that. You kind of have a roadmap now for them to find their way through the game.
But I think as well, with this, when we started out, like, everybody was just thrown in together just because you didn't have a bigger pool of people. So you'd have huge monsters who were like starting out rolling with tiny guys who were also starting out, and injuries were a lot more frequent, I think, and everybody was just bursting everybody. Whereas now you can start to split people by size, or maybe because we're not an MMA gym either, you don't have the guys with an MMA mentality.
Yeah, not just like, trying to be overly aggressive and smash their way through everything. And
yeah, I think the atmosphere is generally kind of good. I think countrywide, though, if you go traveling around to a jiu-jitsu class, generally I think everybody's a little bit more caring of their training partners.
Softer shites, that's what they're. Softer people.
How long are we here in this because we're here well over a year anyway, aren't you?
A year.
So we were here last September. Christmas training, weren't we?
Yeah, I think we moved in last September, so.
Yeah, not that just long over here. Yeah. What prompted the move? Was it just that this place popped up, the opportunity came up, or was it as well, was it the growth of the team as well?
No, it was the opportunity. This location is...
It's a phenomenal location, yeah.
It was a bit, like, moving here was either going to make us or break us.
Yeah.
We still don't know which yet.
But anyone who's outside Dublin, this is pretty much right on, like, you can get here from anywhere. It's right on the M50, so it's like beyond gym where I am. I'm 2 minutes off the M50 as well, and like, it's just location. Just, it's not an excuse then for people, obviously, as well. So it's
location. It's the facilities as well. Like, you're not in a fucking shed anymore. Like, the last place we were. Well, not the last. The last place we were was all right, but the place before that was literally a shed. It was.
Yeah, it's like It's we were just talking about cold weather in facilities and stuff, and we've all been in the old gyms where it's like a barn, and you're feeling it in the depth of winter. It won't be as bad now that you've got nice kind of coffee shops and fruit juice bars and stuff around here. So it's a proper changing rooms and stuff makes all the difference.
Changing rooms are bigger than the last gym, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
yeah, no, it's nice.
Progress. And what's on the horizon then? Because we've been chatting just before camera started rolling about all the upcoming comps and big ones that are coming up, like you've got the Dublin IBJJF Open coming soon, and then the Europeans kind of hot on its tail after. So for you guys and for the students and stuff, is there anything we're kind of pushing people to prepare for? Or
we've got the Cork Open as well in 2 weeks' time, is it? The 11th of November.
A few numbers like from the Royal Grappling Academy down there.
There's a few, considering going down to that. Yeah.
There's a few.
Down to...
It's a bit too far, though.
Yeah.
They're afraid of Cork people.
Yeah.
Yeah, crossing the border is always tough. We took the easy man route, and we got an Airbnb for the night before, so... once you kind of reach a certain age, getting out of a car after 2.5 hours and then stepping onto a map becomes a bit problematic, doesn't it?
I know, but we're cunts because everything in Dublin, everybody has to travel here, so people from Cork have to travel here, and
all
people
the time,
from Derry, and then we don't go down, which is not good, you know.
Yeah. You gotta share the wealth and turn up and support their comps too.
Yeah, but I'm not going.
And have you guys haven't really had probably too much opportunity to compete then this year? Or?
Well, no, I haven't competed since the Europeans in 2017.
Yeah, that was May, wasn't it? The Barcelona one.
Yeah. So I retired on top. So that was, well, it was, I moved job twice in the last year and a half. So that was a big upset, and had another baby. So that was another upset to training or prepping for a competition. So we just kind of focus on building the team, like that's the story we'll tell anyway.
Focus on
building the team, and
it's a workload though, isn't it? It's a workload as well, you know, when you have the responsibility for a buttload of students. It's
Well, I think if you split your time, and I have done that for years, is where you go to tournaments and you're refereeing, you're coaching, you're helping out a little bit behind the scenes, and then you're trying to prepare and get the right mindset yourself for competing. And it's just too much, and you end up doing everything half-arsed or in pieces, and you're not coaching as well as you should be, you're not competing as well as you should be, and your mind is kind of divided. Whereas I think the last couple of years, it's just been, if we're going to coach, we're just there to coach.
Yeah.
And I think it's worked out better. The results with the lads in competition has got a bit better. Because we're able to give them the attention they need, so I think that's kind of where the focus has been. Now, trying to get one or two competitions in a year over the next while, maybe. But I think
pick and choose the battles.
Yeah, just enjoying coaching a lot more than
yeah, of course. And particularly at black belt level, I mean, you kind of can't really just jump into these things on a whim anymore, because
no,
everyone's just going to be so good that you're going in against. You've kind of got to give yourself the opportunity to be prepared for it, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the competitions as well, when you get to, as you get older as well, the hair thins out.
Mm.
But going into Masters 3 now for next year, as a featherweight, it's a very small pool of people.
Yeah.
Featherweight, Masters 3, black belt, it's small. So the international competitions are a bigger IBJJF tournament in Ireland, like that's kind of, if they do one of them a year, I'd be happy enough.
Yeah, so it was the last year or two doing the Masters 2 purple belt, and it was like my division at the Euros was like 20 guys, and then I was looking at, like, last year I was looking at, right, let's say if I do jump up a belt, which I have since, and then I'll be obviously going up an age bracket, so I was kind of looking to see what the numbers were like, and it was only 4 or 5 guys in the next one up, so there's a fair old drop off there, you know.
And him in his 50s.
Kind of Master 11.
Master 11.
Yeah, so was the last time you competed? That was the British Open. You did the British Open last year, didn't you?
I did.
Or the
what
UK
did I
Masters.
Do?
That
British
the one
Masters, I think, after the Euros, was it?
I did the British Open.
I definitely saw you in a black belt competing somewhere.
I competed once a black belt and it was a fucking disaster. What was that? The British Masters?
It was the UK Masters, wasn't it? Yeah. In September, there was a gang of us over at that.
Yeah. That was a disaster.
Did you guys go to that this year, no?
No.
No.
I've been fucking injured last year, so.
Yeah.
Competing for me was not.
Yeah, not really, yeah. The body's not built for it this year.
No. Maybe for December we might try jumping.
Yeah. Tempted by the Dublin Open.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a big occasion, isn't it? Because there'll be a lot of guys from the domestic scene. The first one as well, we were just saying, like, it's probably a good idea to, if you're fit, to try and support it and things like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm going to try to do it.
And obviously, it's a rough time of the year because you've got that and then you've got Christmas and then the Europeans. So financially, for guys who like to compete and do the Euros and stuff every year, it's a really... going to be a tight one around Christmas, probably trying to fit all of that in.
It is. But if you're doing the Euros, it's a good little prep and competition before it as well. Mm. That's the way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be, because this time of year is when you're kind of putting in your kind of pre-season, getting ready for the Euros. And then, yeah, if you've got a comp in there to mix it up as well, it's kind of helpful. But there's that little window where we were just chatting earlier before we started recording again about, you kind of have guys who are coming down training and they're full of turkey and full of booze, and when you're training for Lisbon, it's hard to get the right rounds in. It's hard, like if you don't have a lot of guys who are going hell for leather getting ready for it, because a lot of your training partners just aren't really in that kind of mind frame and they're not really in the shape they usually are. So
yeah, it's tough to get the hard rounds.
Get the balance right, you know. Will you have many guys from here doing either of those competitions?
We not too many doing the Euros. I think maybe Steven and somebody else is doing the Euros, but I wanted to get a load of people doing the Dublin Open, but money is the issue. It's expensive for them.
Yeah, the membership of the IBJJF is just another expense at top, isn't it?
Yeah. Purple belts, especially the purple belts, fuckers won't do it. They said they won't pay the membership.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, it's a lot to add into the pile.
Yeah,
you know?
And then when you can pay €40 to compete in Cork, why would you pay €150?
Mm. At least that, yeah.
So I mean, you can't force people to do these things, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's all the added expense there. It's at Masters level as well, like you're kind of, like we were saying there, that the numbers as well are a bit lower, so you're paying a lot of money to get one or two matches.
Yeah.
It's a right kick in the balls, isn't it? There's been a good few kind of belt promotions I've seen on social media and stuff, because they're kind of getting your students are just kind of rising through the ranks over the year as well, so there's been quite a few kind of guys making great strides in here.
Yeah, I don't think any of them are, I'd say if you said, oh yeah, there's loads of promotions coming through, I'd say they'd probably say, well, probably not frequently enough. Like the likes of...
Chomping at the bit to get up the ladder. Like
the two lads that we promoted this year to brown belts, they're both training probably nearly as long as I am anyway. Like I remember
Marco and Slav,
like I've monsters. Seen them on the mats like 12 years ago,
right?
And they're savages. They're guys in their masters divisions now, but they're both in good shape and
putting the work in, obviously.
They'd give anyone a trouble. So, and then the purple belts as well, I think a lot of them have been training like 5, 6, 7 years, and they compete well, and they're generally very good. So it's good to see them sticking around, and because normally there's a big drop off between blue and purple belt. But I think by and large the lads in here are
quite a few lads bridged that gap over the last year or two, or they've made that step up.
I think it's 20 purple belts now.
20, wow.
20 on the mats, yeah, which is fucking big for us. Like,
Yeah. How long is the club actually going now as a going concern? Like,
I started when you were 20, 1946.
black and white, it started.
It started in black and white. I think it was 2011. 2011, was it?
So they tell people, anyway.
Yeah, it was. September 2011, that's what it was.
Right.
So, and then, that's when we started, and it was really very, very small. It was only just that I was getting ready to have our first child, and I wasn't able to make it over training anywhere else. So there's a few people that were living in the Blanche area that just said, look, there's nowhere to train over here. Do you want to get this going? Because I did start another club before that with another fella, and that kind of fell apart. So after that, there was nowhere to train jiu-jitsu.
There just wasn't
Blanche.
The number of teams around back in that stage.
No, it was really like around Dublin, there was the two big ones, so SBG and Rhino.
Yeah, I was kind of, I think I was a white belt around that time. The options were, that's only around the time Andy Ryan got his black belt, it would have been 2010-11 at that stage, and he was only the second black belt in the country, so
yeah.
It's just like a huge contrast to what's going on now. Like.
Yeah, so, and there was no real options out here, so we just had a very small group, and I called it Royal Grappling Academy because we started the first mats we laid down were in Dunboyne. So
County Mead,
Royal County. So Royal Grappling Academy because I guess it's probably a bit bigger than jiu-jitsu. We do elements of wrestling and shitty judo.
Shitty wrestling.
Yeah, shitty wrestling. so that's kind of... That's it. Nice. And then I met him in New York.
That's when you were living there.
Yeah. It was actually that year as well, just before I opened the gym, I think. I was over there because I was over for a Pogues gig in New York for Paddy's Day.
Really?
And I said, to Sarah, go on up and do a bit of shopping there. I brought a gig just... I'll just go train in Marcello's while I'm here, and then I trained with him for 2 hours. We were the only two purple belts on the mats. It was me, him. It was a 11 o'clock class, and I did a gi class where I kind of did all right against them, and then I did an no-gi class and bet the bollocks on me. So, and then at the end of it, because he was just grunting at me for the whole 2 hours. And then at the end of it, he said, where you from? And I said, Ireland. I know that. And I said, all right, so you're Irish as well. Yeah. Well, where else am I from? And I said, Jesus. So we just got into chatting then. But we'd been training for 2 hours and he just grunted at me. I didn't pick up any accent. And it was only at the end then that we started chatting, and Roger hadn't been training in Ireland, so... I was just asking him, like, what is there many guys training and what's the competitions like and all that. So we just stayed in touch afterwards. So then when Roger came back to Ireland, he started beating me up back here, and then we just joined forces.
Deadly.
And he still beat me up
now. Still going strong, it's still happening. The team is just a serious growth as well, you know.
I think there's been a good atmosphere. I think a lot of the people that started in those early days in Dunboyne, a lot of them, I'd say probably 80% of them are still training. Probably some of them not as frequently as they should be, but the majority of them are still on the mats. And are now training at good purple belt level, the likes of Collie and Tomo and Wayne. Like, they were all guys that were there
Darren
since
was
the point.
Oh,
Darren Lewins as well, who also trains over in Balance. Like, he's good brown belt as well. So we've got a lot of guys still on the mat.
Consistent number, that's pretty awesome. You came back from the States, what year is that? Was that around that time, 11, 12?
It was 2013. I think March, five and a half years now.
Yeah, it's well settled in back home now. Do you miss it? No.
Of course you miss New York. You're going to live in there.
How long are you there?
I was there 8 years.
Wow, yeah.
So it's a big change. It's a big change walking into Foxy's gym with fucking five people on the mats.
Coming from Marcello's.
Yeah,
culture shock. But was it Marcello's like... pretty much the main one you had done since day one of starting jiu-jitsu? Or
no, I started in a place called Ronin Athletics. It was a little MMA gym.
Really?
In Manhattan. Christian Montes. He got his black belt a few years ago, but he's actually hooked up with Henno Gracie and them guys now.
Right.
He was SBG. And then he went to Braza.
was a Felipe Costa.
Felipe Costa, yeah. Giving his backup. And now he's with the Henry Gracie, which is good. Good for business. Get that Gracie name on the door.
Absolutely,
Super cool guy, yeah. I was there for maybe 5 years. And then I went to Marcellus.
Right. Were you, blue belt at that stage?
I was a purple belt. I went to Marcellus because I was going home. So I says, I'll get a few months training in Marcellus. Experience it. And I stayed another 3 years by accident. Just for the training.
And get back out the door.
Yeah. So yeah, Marcellus is just different.
Cream of the crop up there. Yeah. Like, and it's a different world. But you guys, obviously both got your black belts the same time, and like, you know, it was one of those things where we'd always be kind of just waiting for you to get your black belt, you know. It was like about time, you know. But the time when it happened, who was it over? Gave you the belt?
Trainer.
So Marcelo doesn't travel, doesn't he, you
know? No. Every year we ask for him, but yeah, maybe next year.
Yeah. Be great. Now imagine.
So maybe next year. It's fucking anytime I go to any competition, when you get Marcelo over.
Easier said than done. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Is there many affiliate gyms to Marcellus around internationally?
There's a few popping up. I think there's there's one in Israel and Argentina, maybe.
Yeah.
Canada, that's about it.
Right, yeah, they're few and far between.
There's
like
a few in the States.
Yeah.
There's not too many, no.
We're the only one in Europe.
Yeah. Europe headquarters.
Europe HQ, yeah. It's a claim to fame, you know.
We're trying to get Shriner, like the Shriner's been over twice, and we had Mateus over earlier this year.
Yeah, Munch of course has been over.
Been over twice. It's good to have them over.
Yeah.
Like, great. They all have different styles as well. Tanoka was over as well. Like, they're all teaching their own kind of game. So it's good to get that level of intensity as well with training. Like, these are, it seems like they're on the mats forever, but they're young guys. They're guys in their early 20s, most of them. Shriner's the same vintage as myself and Roger, but he's still got a lot of he's hard earned his bumps and bruises on the mats. Like, he's trained with some of the best, and great to get that expertise on the mat. That's good.
Deadly, yeah. Is there any seminars or anything lined up over the coming kind of few months or anything like that? Anything in the pipeline?
Well, we've Chris Bow next week, Saturday.
Oh, yeah, saw that, yeah.
We get a lot of seminars from big names. Like, we had fucking Dave Camarillo and...
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have? Jake McKenzie.
Oh yeah.
Jamie Canuto.
Like, we get a lot of high level people in, and so we decided to try getting a few of the Irish lads. We took in Dara. Dara taught a fucking savage seminar. And we Laughlin as well, but so we got Dara in, we're gonna have Chris in, and maybe get a few more of the Irish lads in.
Yeah, because it's not something that happens a whole lot. I think I don't know whether there's a stigma to it or whether people are just kinda, they just haven't really started into that routine of just doing that. Because we have some guys out there who are, like the two boys you just mentioned, have achieved unbelievable things on the world stage, haven't they?
Yeah, so like, we'll try to get Fergal and maybe Liam up, like, show them the support and put them out there, they deserve it. Like, you
guys who are meddling constantly at the big international competitions, and now, like, I mean, even a black belt, like, Robbie won his fourth Euros last year, and that was Robbie Brennan, that was a black belt. You know, you guys who were achieving things at the highest level of the game, and yeah, it's weird that we kind of don't really spread that around a bit, and like, don't have guys like yourselves going into other gyms and doing seminars, or like Dara's doing a few, but there hasn't been that many of them, I suppose, just yet, you know.
Well, I guess maybe we might start something, you know.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be good.
Because there's I don't even know how many Irish based black belts there is now, but there's it's growing like massively every year. Yeah, you don't feel special anymore. It's there'll be a few more on the way probably over the next year or two. It's great to see Joey Breslin, like, it was one there that just got his recently as well.
Yeah, on the same day, Joey, Keane Connell, who was one of my early training partners, went and travelled a lot with him, and so it's great to see, like, and then, was it Kieran Davin?
Kieran's a beast, isn't he? Yeah.
I, I don't know him really, but I've seen him compete and he's seems to be doing a great job.
He's doing it at the highest level as well. Like he's going out there and he's just putting on super fights and like that. His win in Polaris, especially against your man Lloyd Cooper. Like Lloyd Cooper's got a really good name and he kind of just made it look easy as well, didn't he? He didn't hang around. He got the win. So it was great to see. And I think we have a podcast lined up actually with Joey now over the next kind of
week
or two.
That'd be really good. Yeah.
That's. It's funny as well because I was only speaking to Joey recently enough because he was one of my early training partners.
Yeah. SBG. I saw he named it in his Facebook post. He put up an awesome Facebook post.
I must have a look at it.
Yeah, he put up, he basically wrote like an essay. It was like his story of his martial arts journey, and he thanked that there was people he had thanked, and I think I saw your name on there,
okay.
But it was well worth a read. It was really cool, you know?
Yeah, because back in the early days, when we were already in Long Mile Road, there wasn't a lot of guys that were just doing jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, it was an MMA team at that.
Yeah, it was an MMA team, and that did jiu-jitsu. Now the jiu-jitsu level was decent, you know, but it was kind of as a skill set for MMA.
Okay.
So there was only myself and maybe Tom King a little bit that were competing at bigger competitions, because there wasn't even many here. But Joey kind of bit the bug, and so he was a good training partner for me for a long time. And Paddy Houlihan as well, another smaller guy that was interested in jiu-jitsu. And so it's great to see them doing well over in Tala.
Their gym is pretty awesome. We've been over a few times now and doing seminars there and stuff, and a couple of training sessions with Paddy as well.
I haven't managed to make it over yet, but
it's a lovely setup.
Well, it's good to see Joey getting the belt as well. I fought him a few times now in competition, because again, smaller pool of people looking for featherweights. I think he's beat me more than I've beat him, but
he's very good.
He's very good.
I rolled at him recently, going through a wood chipper. Every time I moved, he had me in something, you know. So.
Well, it's even as well, because I was like, "Oh, geez, are you going into masters now?" He's like, "No, I'm only 25." I was like, "Fuck sake, 25, yeah." I was like, because he's training, probably 8 or 9 years, I'd say.
Easily, he might have been a purple belt back. When I got my blue belt,
maybe he's 26, but he's certainly training since he was a kid.
Yeah, he's still in his 20s, definitely. But he's unbelievable, you know.
Yeah, and super nice guy too.
He's a very helpful guy, very open guy, and welcoming. When you're into the gym and stuff, he'll sit down with you. He'll give you a couple of pointers and help you out with stuff, you know, rather than just footlock the shit out of you and leave it at that. He'll tell you why he's able to footlock the shit out of you and how you get out of it and how you're stopping it and how you're preventing you from getting there. So really cool to see him getting his belt, you know. And Paddy will probably won't be far behind him, I'm going to guess, you know.
I guess there's probably a lot of guys in the country that you'd think that are on the mats for a long, long time, but because they were doing MMA, so maybe the focus wasn't there on jiu-jitsu. It was kind of probably the likes of Paddy, if you think, or even the likes of Owen Roddy, that was a long time, long time training before he got promoted, but probably splitting his time over multiple disciplines.
Getting the balance,
so I don't know.
And either of you guys ever dabbled into MMA or anything like that, or was it just purely jits all the way?
I think there's old videos there on YouTube of me doing amateur MMA, the MMA league, but I've never fought MMA.
Yeah.
I was already late 20s, nearly, I was 30 when I got my blue belt.
Right.
So,
the young guys, the same boat, took a few bangs, and I was 32 starting martial arts, so you don't really want to be taking too many kicks to the head off 19-year-olds, because it's just trying to keep up with them is not so easy, you know?
Yeah, and then a couple of amateur Thai fights as well, but I haven't put gloves or shin pads on since 2009. They're in a bag there up in the attic, and they probably stay up there.
You don't miss getting kicked in the legs. It was one thing I've noticed, especially in this cold weather, leave it to the younger guys.
So Roger, he was king of the
King of fuck all.
No, I trained MMA. I never fought MMA.
World champion of Kells.
Yeah, it's just a different type of jiu-jitsu, isn't it?
Yeah.
But compared to what's in sport jiu-jitsu now, it's becoming less and less relevant towards MMA for a lot of the stuff that's kind of coming to the fore over the last few years, a lot of the guards and things, stuff you'd see at submission wrestling, like a lot of the leg lock stuff is going to be very difficult to bring into MMA, it's not going to be your old school, your fundamental jits is great, that's what you need when you're going into a fight scenario, but you don't see a lot of guys barreling, but you do see the odd Baron Bolo, but not many in a cage.
Yeah.
Lee Hammond was good enough to pull off a couple, but I don't think too many guys brave enough to risk it,
Yeah, hashtag leg locks don't work. But, I don't know, you see, I don't know, there's a lot of, obviously you have to, when you're getting punched in the head, kind of dynamic changes.
You've got to be very sure of your leg lock game. If you're going in there, you got to finish it quick or not,
Yeah.
You don't get the chance of hanging around underneath someone to fish for stuff.
Yeah, have a look at even Toquinho fighting against, what was your man's name? The guy with the sketchy Elvis tattoo.
Oh, Alan...
Alan Belcher.
Belcher.
Yeah.
Shut him down hard, didn't he?
Yeah. So, I don't know, there you go.
That was actually a cracking fight, yeah. But Alan Belcher's got a very underrated game. Who's he a black belt under again? He had a very underestimated kind of jiu-jitsu lineage, but he basically,
I think, did he bring Lister in or somebody like that?
That rings a bell, I think he might have, he would have brought Lister in for that camp.
To prepare him for that.
Yeah, and he really just, he put it on him, yeah. He did he stop him in that fight? I think he might have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really shut his game down.
There's a lot more people, like the likes of Ryan Hall, who's able to just pull it off, just really tight leg lock game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He seems to have, I think he's fighting again soon, isn't he?
He's fighting fucking BJ Penn.
That's right, yeah.
That's a crazy fight.
What the fuck?
BJ should be finished, man.
BJ, it's sad to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I was over in BJ's academy in Hawaii in 2008. I took a career break and I was in Brazil for 2.5 months and then I was in BJ's for 2.5 months. Right. That's when he was getting ready for, it was the second GSP fight.
Wow.
But, so it's like he kind of at the peak of his thing, but even then he was like in and out. He was like, hey guys, what's up? You're like, are you staying to train BJ? Oh no, guy, I left the car running. I gotta go. I'll be back later, guys. And then he'd be gone again, but like, and then he'd come in another day and he might be flat out. But
yeah. He wasn't a man for putting in the hardest graft.
No, I wouldn't say so, not then. His brothers, though, he's one of four brothers.
Yeah.
They're all J.D. Penn. So, Jay, the eldest, is exactly to the day 10 years older than me. So, he was very helpful while I was there. And he did the day-to-day coaching in the gym, like for jiu-jitsu. He was very good. Same size as me as well.
Right.
And then there's J.D., who he had the MMA promotions in Hawaii. And he's a much bigger guy. He was very good, but I think he'd injured himself, so he wasn't able to train. And then Reagan, of course, who's the younger brother, he very good jiu-jitsu. He was a killer, but he's fought MMA subsequently. Yeah, I think he's done quite well.
Did you get to travel around much during that year? Did you get to see a lot of different places? And
I actually didn't. I was in Rio. And I was training that Brazilian top team at the time.
Right.
And it was Toquinho was actually on the mats.
Wow.
So it was him and Milton Vieira was one of the main coaches there at the time. And then Tata Rios, that owns Frontline Academy in Norway. So he was over and back while I was there as well.
Right.
But that would have been, but that was because there was no contact, didn't know who to get in touch with. I went out there with Dave McConkie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that was in, that's where he was over for 2 weeks and then he headed off and I stayed on for
Was that 2008 you said, was it?
Yeah.
I was actually in Brazil in 2008 and I don't think I even knew what jiu-jitsu was back then, which is fucking unfortunate. Like, missed opportunity,
We probably walked past each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was more interested in the caipirinhas and the senoritas on the beach than I was in jiu-jitsu. But yeah, definitely one for the bucket list. And I'll get back down there and actually bring a gi this time and train, you know.
Yeah, in 2009 I was back again, but I was in I went to Gord. That was the what was it called? Connection Rio.
No, really.
There was a guy, Dennis Ash, that was running it. I think he's back in the States now. But it was before it blew up, like, that there was loads of gringos on the mats.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of savages there, like Javi Aldos Años.
He was training
there at the time. And there was a couple of other guys that are UFC fighters as well.
He won a Worlds, didn't he? Or one of the belts, Javi Aldos Años. I think it might have been like a purple belt world champion or something like that.
Could have been. He was savage there training anyway.
Yeah, I believe he's outstanding on the mat, you know. But you don't get to see a lot of it when he's just lighting people up like that in the cage. But yeah, I think it was him that won an IBJJF world title at one of the lower ranks, you know.
Yeah, there was over there at that stage that was with Donald Carmody and Paddy Carmody. That was, they're very good. Paddy's savage black belt.
Right.
Good training then.
Yeah, good to travel around. Did you get to train many other places in the States outside of Marcellus?
No.
Or any big names?
I competed a good bit across the country, but I didn't train anywhere else.
Never really mixed it in with other gyms or?
No, I competed in California, I did the Worlds. I competed all over New York, like Boston, and I used to compete nearly every fucking weekend.
Yeah. Body can only handle so much of that. We all go through that little window, don't we? Where until the body starts shutting down, then you can kind of do so many of them.
No, at blue belt I competed a lot. Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Boston. Just jumping the car was easy.
Yeah. The options would be great, I'd say. Yeah. The weekend just gone was the Northern Irish Nogi Open. Was it Nogi, wasn't it?
Yes.
Nogi Open. Did you guys have a few at that?
We had a couple. We had four or five people at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did all right. We got a couple of... Maybe four medals.
Three, not so bad.
Small divisions.
Yeah, it was a small tournament, I think. It wasn't packed. There's just so many on lately. Like, there's competitions on all the time. Like, I think the Midlands Open is on this week, and then the Cork Open next week, and then the Dublin Open coming. So there's kind of, you hit times of the year when there's stuff on every week, don't you?
No, it's good. It's nice to get in a few little matches for the boys in prep, you know?
Yeah.
Some people getting beat when they probably think they should be getting beat as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Ego,
yeah.
You know?
Come back in that box.
Which make you put in a bit more kind of hours that you may be missing out or skimping on a little bit sometimes.
Well, it's people. Some people in the gym are monsters, and then they just, for whatever reason, whether it's mental, they just can't put it together in a competition.
Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it? It's like you see that a lot. You do see that a lot, but it's a whole new game. It's handling that kind of pressure when. You kind of feel like at times that there's loads of eyes on you when you're competing, but it's not really the case usually, you know. But most people just tend to wilt, or a lot of people tend to wilt when they see that. There's only like certain personality types kind of handle that well and kind of shine in them positions. The guys who are maybe, you know, experienced at competing and stuff, but you see a lot of people just they don't perform anywhere near as well as, you know, they know they can, you know.
I think it's a skill set, though. It's like, it's something that everyone can develop, I think
experience, and you can develop it.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys have any specific things you do when you're about to compete? Is there any things mentally that you do on competition day, or any routines you go through?
I try, I take everything, like what Marcelo, the advice he gave is like, do what you do when you go training, that's it. Treat it like a normal day.
Yeah.
So don't do anything unusual. Don't fucking take any fancy pre-workout shite that you don't normally take. Whatever you eat before training, eat before competition. Whatever you do to warm up, do that to warm up a competition. Mm. Just get in the same mindset you'd be when you're training.
Yeah.
And then when you step on, you switch it up just a level maybe.
Yeah. Just add that intensity.
I don't do the old... you have to do these special things when you compete. And
visualization and things like that. You don't bother with any special routines or anything like that. You just turn up and slip bump fists and go at it.
I'd have a different approach. I think with that,
it's what works for the individual, though, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, and that's what it's about. Is like, you have to throw it around and do something different, like try a few different things and mm. and then take stock at the end of it and say, right, did that make me feel a bit better? Did I feel more relaxed going on the mats? Was yeah. I too relaxed? Yeah. Was I not amped up enough? Yeah, maybe yeah. I needed to do a bit more cardio to get the heart rate going. You know, some people start slow.
Yeah, wake the nervous system up a little yeah. bit.
Like I tend to try and go in and put like a heavy pace at the start of a match because you've only a small enough window to work.
At Masters level is 5 minutes, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's great. It's great in one way. The problem is when you go 2 points down and yeah. you turn your head to look at the clock.
Yeah,
where the last 3 minutes go? Like.
Yeah, so I try and have it that I can go at a fucking a good pelt for 5 minutes, like go right from the get go. But I think, strangely enough, like that last tournament we did in the Europeans was real rushed and hurried, but it was the one that I felt best in from mm. a competing point of view. Like we arrived there and it was literally right, you've 20 minutes on your first right. match. So we got straight into, didn't have time to kind of dwell over who am I competing against or any of that stuff. It was kind of just focus on ourselves. And I think one of the best things, bits of advice for people that are competing is to try and get a plan for, not for the whole match, but for the first 30 seconds. Because you can guarantee every match is going to start from standing.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people overlook that. They focus a lot on somebody starts on the ground and
yeah.
yeah, you might already have your grips or whatever, but I think focusing on that first 30 seconds, closing the distance, making your grips and your first, either your takedown immediately or your guard pull, I think that's, because that's something that's definitely in your control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So rather than waiting for something to happen, like,
and yeah, then going for, I think a lot of people have that as well, like where their mindset in competing is, oh, I don't know, we'll just see how it goes. Well, already you're playing to the other guy's script.
Of course, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're already, I'd be like that as well. Now I kind of don't like to go out there and wait, like, and just kind of stand off. And I've made that mistake in many of the matches where the next thing you know, you're tied up in something and you're chasing the clock a little bit, you know. So yeah.
Well, you go out and you slap hands and fist bump, and before you know it, you're playing their game.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
reacting,
yeah.
You're reacting instead of initiating the game. So I think there's a lot to be said with trying to drill the areas where you know you're going to be. Like, it's a percentage game.
Hmm.
Like, there's no point in having a super duper pass from deep half guard, but you end up there for 2% of the matches. So if you play the percentage, like, every 100% of matches start from standing.
Yeah.
So you need to have something there. 100% of matches are going to end up with some kind of guard game, but kind of focus your time on the places that you're almost guaranteed to be in, and then after that,
yeah, it's good to be ready, stay ready.
Be ready in the high percentage areas.
Yeah,
because the battlefield is not level. It's not all. You're not going to be in every position 10% of the time. You're going to be 80% of the time in two or three positions. So
yeah. You see the best guys are the best. The guys who go out there and pull the trigger a little bit, and they're not gun shy. You see that a lot in competition. They kind of know what they're after, and that's where they get the fight to that position as quickly as possible. Give yourself the best opportunity. We're going to wrap this up because we're sitting here freezing. We're all after being training all morning as well, and we're all wrapped up in all our layers. So thanks for having us, lads.
Thank you.
Look forward to chatting again. And be down at Christmas for. Did we do the 12 rounds of Christmas again?
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
It's a good way of getting the turkey out of the belly afterwards. Okay, guys. Next time. Peace.
See you now.